This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. Living God, you invite us into the dance with you, a dance of praise, creativity, a dance of justice, and a dance of rejoicing. Yet, sometimes we feel we want to present a different image to the world. Help us to give ourselves wholeheartedly to your dance. Help us to feel you dancing with us and to teach the dance to others. In the name of the Lord of the dance, our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. Well, these are quite the readings, aren't they? Usually, I am off on pilgrimage with either adults or youth when this gospel and this first reading comes up. But what more could you ask for to compete with the day's news? Sexual lust, seduction, political ambition, scandal, and murder. Details at 10. My Lord. But there is some continuity in both the first reading from Samuel and this gospel. If you noticed, there are two instances of dancing in both. We see David dancing before the ark. Now, some of our scripture scholars have different opinions about this, and I know hymns have been written about it, but in terms of the history of Israel, this was an important moment, because that ark, even as we see in Raiders of the Lost Ark, had this sort of talisman type of symbolism that if you took the ark into battle, that God went before you and God was going to protect you. And as we know, that ark was moved from place to place, and for a while, it ended up in a place called Shiloh in Israel. And I remember with Father Zerafah, who used to lead the pilgrimages that we would take to the Holy Land back when I was in seminary, he wanted to go to Shiloh because that's where the ark had been, where the center of the covenant with God was centered. And we get to Shiloh, and where he said, this is the place where it was, and it's the trash dump for the city. They have since started to do some excavations in Shiloh, and you can go to Tel Shiloh and see everything that they're discovering there. But after some time, David decides that now the center of our religion and of our entity as a nation is going to be in Jerusalem. So it's a big deal when David is bringing that ark to this new sort of home. And so he dances before it. And it is this sort of statement with this procession being made that God is on the move and God is going to be centered here. Now, some say that can lead us into a very, very bad idea that God is in a box and this is where you have to go to find God. Because as we all know from the last year and a half, God goes far beyond the walls of this building, as most of us have experienced by necessity. But the fact is that there is this dancing that David does before the ark. Michal gets very upset with this because she was Saul's daughter that David marries. And there is this symbolism going on that whole old age of Saul is passing. And we are moving on to a new episode of God's faithfulness to God's people. That's why she's upset. She is the one who sort of symbolizes that old order, and now we are moving on to something else. So David dances before the ark. David dances before God. We go to the gospel today. Wow. Why would Mark want to go back and tell us this whole gory, horrible story? Well, remember where we left off with last week's gospel. Down and being rejected, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown. This sort of reiterates that for us in a strong way. That if we are going to follow this Jesus as disciples and even think about becoming apostles, it is important for us to understand that it's not always going to be an easy road. To put it simply, John the Baptist is one of those people who speaks the truth regardless of what the circumstances might be. How much twisting of the truth do we have to go through in our world for purposes of power, for purposes of our own desires? And God is saying the only way is to speak the truth, period. That is the God to which we are called. So I wanted to talk a little bit today about how we might do that. And the image, of course, that we have been given is this whole image of dancing. And if you like to dance here, I'm not going to ask you to dance. Just I know Jerry and Carrie, we did that line dancing some years ago here. A lot of people like to dance. I'm a horrible, horrible dancer. But I want to ask you a question that I asked of a professional dancer. When two people get together, what's the most important thing they need to decide before they start dancing to do it well? Somebody said it? Exactly. Who's going to lead? If you're both trying to lead, it is going to be quite a messy situation. But I ran across somebody's meditation on this particular aspect of who's going to lead. And they talked about it in terms of guidance. Did you ever think of that word guidance as being G, God, you, and I dance? I love that image. God, you, and I dance. But this is what this person writes. When two people try to lead, nothing feels right. The movement doesn't flow with the music, and everything is quite uncomfortable and jerky. When one person realizes that and lets the other lead, both bodies begin to flow with the music. One gives gentle cues, perhaps with a nudge to the back or pressing lightly in one direction or another. It's as if two become one body, moving beautifully. The dance takes surrender, willingness, and attentiveness from one person, and gentle guidance and skill from the other. My eyes then came back to that word, G, God, followed by you and I. God, you and I dance. I became willing to trust that I would get guidance about my life, but only if I become willing to let God lead. Now, before I go any further, I want to acknowledge that it's just as difficult to follow. Remember the old statement about Ginger Rogers? She did everything that Fred Astaire did, but she did it backwards. And in high heels. So there you go. Dancing. We are called to follow. To follow God. The second reading that we heard from Ephesians. Don't forget that incredible line that's there. God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavens. Think about that. There is no spiritual blessing that is not accessible to us on this earth where we are now. It becomes crucial for us to let God guide, and if we are willing to do so, we can dance our way into so many blessings. I ran across someone's five top things beside knowing who's leading about how to become a good dancer quickly. And I think they have some implications for our spiritual life. Number one, you want to be a good dancer quickly? Take lessons consistently. If we want to be a good follower of the one who leads us in the dance, we have to take lessons consistently. As my spiritual guru, Dallas Willard, used to always say in class, trying is dying, but training is reigning. Continuing to spend our time with the one who is the ultimate guide and leader is the way in which we will be brought into the blessings and be led into all truth. Second hint, practice daily at home. Our Jewish brothers and sisters have something called a mezuzah that is on the doorstep as you enter. A reference to the Old Testament where it says the Lord will bless your going out and your coming in, because it's a reminder to them that they have a covenant to dance with God. That, excuse the image, that God's at the top of our dance card. Find some time to spend with God. Number three, to become a good dancer, you have to have a goal. Be creative with it. There's no right or wrong. The most important thing is to have one and to have a future date that you're working towards. If you're into centering prayer, my goal is that by next month, I'm going to be spending 10 to 15 minutes in silence each and every day. If you're a devotional reader, I am going to read the forward day by day or whatever your favorite devotional is every day of the week for such and such a time. And you break it up into little increments so that it does not become unmanageable, but before you know it, you are so far along on the journey. The fourth hint, feel your body. This is about muscle memory. Athletes do it, dancers do it. You do things in such repetition and so many times that it's such a habit that you just start doing it without thinking about it. It's the same with our spiritual lives. Do you remember the musical, The King and I? Shall we dance? Ba-dum-bump-bump. It's there. You can't get it out of your head. That we hear it enough, we do it enough, that it becomes a part of us. So too in our spiritual journey. And lastly, keep yourself inspired. When it comes to the spiritual life, have a scripture or two that are your fallback inspirations, or a favorite hymn or two that when you are feeling a little blue and don't feel like dancing, crank it up or sing it up, or a favorite prayer or even a favorite religious speaker who will inspire you. Inspired, literally to put the breath back into our soul. We are called into the dance. The dance with the one who is the ultimate leader. I want to end today with a story that I know we have all heard and we have all shared several times at different funerals along the way. But I think it is the appropriate thing for us to think about as we end today. It's called A New Version of the Footprints in the Sand. Imagine you and the Lord Jesus walking down the road together. For much of the way, the Lord's footprints go along steadily, consistently, rarely varying the pace. But your prints are a disorganized stream of zigzags, starts, stops, turnarounds, circles, departures, and returns. For much of the way, it seems to go like this. But gradually, your footprints come more in line with the Lord's, soon paralleling God's consistently. You and Jesus are walking as true friends. This seems perfect, but then an interesting thing happens. Your footprints that once etched the sand next to the Master's are now walking precisely in his steps. Inside his larger footprints is the small sand print safely enclosed. You and Jesus are becoming one. This goes on for many miles. But gradually you notice another change. The footprint inside the larger footprint seems to grow larger. Eventually, it disappears altogether. There's only one set of footprints. They become one. Again, this goes on for a long time, but then something awful happens. The second set of footprints is back, and this time it seems even worse. Zigzags all over the place, stops, starts, deep gashes in the sand, a veritable mess of prints. You're amazed and shocked, but this is the end of your dream. Now you speak. Lord, I understand the first scene with the zigzags and fits and starts and so on. I was a new Christian, just learning, but you walked on through the storm and helped me learn to walk with you.
That is correct.
Yes, and when the smaller footprints were inside of yours, I was actually learning to walk in your steps. I followed you very closely.
Very good. You have understood everything so far.
Then the smaller footprints grew and eventually filled in with yours. I suppose that I was actually growing so much that I was becoming like you in every way.
Precisely.
But this is my question, Lord. Was there a regression or something? The footprints went back to two, and this time it was worse than the first. The Lord smiles and then laughs. You didn't know? That was when we danced. May we dance. Amen.